It's Elizabeth, and today we're going to read the name jar. Now, I don't know if any of you have a name jar, but let's begin. Oh, and it's written by Yong Suk Choi, and this episode and the whole show is actually sponsored by One Year Sacramento. You can check it out on Instagram. It's actually really awesome. And you can see ordinary, like, beautiful things in the ordinary. I mean, like, it's really pretty. And there's interesting things. There's photos. There's t-shirts. There's other stuff that you can find. And it's on Instagram. Okay. Now we're going to read the name jar. And Elijah's not here with us today. I'm so sad that he isn't. But we shall read on. Let's get reading. Okay. Through the bus window, Yoon-hae looked out on the strange buildings and houses on the way to her new school. It was her first day, and she was both nervous and excited. She fingered the little block of wood in her pocket and remembered leaving her grandmother at the airport in Korea. Her grandmother had wiped a tear away from Yoon-hae's eyes and handed her an ink pad and a small red satin pouch. "Your name isn't red," she had said. "My name?" Yoon-hae had wondered. Again, she took up the red pouch to look at the wooden block with her name card on it. As she ran her fingers along the grooves and the words, ridges of the Korean character, she pictured her grandmother's smile. I bet most of you guys have a grandmother, and my grandmother is pretty awesome. And let's keep reading. "Is that thing for show and tell, boy?" asked Yoon-hae, surprising her. Yoon-hae looked up as more kids leaned over. "No, it's mine," Yoon-hae answered quickly, putting the pouch back in her pocket.
"Are you new here? What's your name?" a girl asked.
"Yoon-hae," said Yoon-hae.
"Uni?" the girl asked, scrunching up her face. Ew, me," some kids chanted.
Now that is really mean. It's called teasing.
"No, no," Yoon-hae corrected. "It's spelled U-N-H-E-I. It's pronounced Yoon-hae."
"Oh, it's Yoon-hae," the boy said. "Like Yoon-hae. What about hey you?"
Just in the bus pulled up to the school and the doors opened. Yoon-hae hurried to get off.
"Hey Yoon-hae, bye bye," the kids yelled as she left.
Yoon-hae felt herself blush. Oh, that's so sad. They're teasing her. Yoon-hae stood in the doorway of her new noisy classroom. The kids in the bus had not gone to her class.
"Are you going in?" asked a curly boy with lots of dots on his face.
"You're the new girl, right?" he asked cheerfully.
Yoon-hae nodded. And before she could walk
away, the boy took her hand and pulled her through the door.
"Here's the new girl,"
he announced so loudly that the teacher, Mr. Kokutos, drops his glasses.
Mr. Kokutos thanks him and greeted Yoon-hae. "Please welcome our newest student," he said to the class. "She and her family have just arrived from Korea last week." Yoon-hae smiled broadly and tried not to show her nervousness.
"What's your name?" someone shouted.
Yoon-hae pictured the kids on the bus. "I haven't picked one out yet," she told the class. "But I'll let you know by next week." As Mr. Kokuto showed her around the classroom and to her desk, she felt many round, curious eyes on her.
"Why didn't she have a name?" she heard someone whisper.
"Maybe she robbed a bank in Korea and needs a new identity," he said.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I must have skipped this part, but she told them that she hasn't picked one out yet because remember the kids on the bus, they were being pretty mean and they were making fun of her name. And so she said, "I'll let you know by next week." On the bus home, nobody teased her, but Yoon-hae kept thinking about her name. "How was school, Yoon-hae?" her mother asked when she walked in. "Did you understand the teacher?" Yoon-hae simply nodded. She unpacked her school bag and set the red pouch by a photograph of her grandma. "I'm glad you're learning English well," her mother said. "You must study hard, behave nicely, and get good grades in to show that you're good Korean." "I will," replied Yoon-hae, "but I think I would like my own American name," she said quickly. Her mother looked at her with surprise. "Why, Yoon-hae is a beautiful name. Your grandma and I went to a name master for it. But it's so hard to pronounce," Yoon-hae complained. "I don't want to be different from all the other American kids." "You are different, Yoon-hae," her mother said. "That's a good thing." Yoon-hae just wrinkled her nose. Later that day, Yoon-hae and her mother went grocery shopping in their new neighborhood. They passed Baldil's Falafel, Tony's Pizza, and Dot's Deli. A big graffiti-painted garbage truck roared like a lion as it took down off the street. Nothing sounded or looked familiar until they got to Kim's Market. The sign was both in English and Korean. Hibinda picked up the cabbage to make kimchi, Korean-style spicy pickled cabbage and other vegetables and meat. She also found some seaweed in his cereal for soup, and made Yoon-hae smiled. "Just because we moved to America," her mother said, "doesn't mean we can't stop eating Korean food." At the checkout counter, a friendly man smiled at Yoon-hae. "Helping your mother was just shopping?" he asked. Yoon-hae nodded. "I'm Mr. Kim, and what is your name?" he said. "Yoon-hae," she answered. "Ah, what a beautiful name," he said. "Doesn't it mean grace?" Yoon-hae nodded again. "My mother and my grandmother went to a name master for it," she told him. "A graceful name for a graceful girl," Mr. Kim said as he put the groceries into bags. "Welcome to the neighborhood, Yoon-hae." That evening, Yoon-hae started to run the bathroom mirror.
"Hi, my name is Amanda," she said.
She wrinkled her nose.
"Hi, my name is Laura."
Maybe not. Her smile turned down. Nothing sounded right. Nothing felt right. "I don't think American kids like me," she worried as she began to brush her teeth.
"Hi, ma, it's sushi,"
she said to the mirror with her mouth full of toothpaste. At 3 o'clock, the bell rang for the end of the school day. I'm sorry. The next morning when Yoon-hae arrived at school, she found a glass jar on her desk with some paper on it. Yoon-hae took it out, went out and read aloud, "Daisy. That's my baby sister's nickname, but you can use it if you want," said Cindy, who sat next to her. And he took out the rest of the paper. "Tamla," she read, "I got from the storybook, Sydney." She was smart and brave. And he nodded and unfolded another piece.
"Wednesday?"
"Yeah,
you came on here on Wednesday," said Ralph. "Thank you for your help." A smile sped across his face.
Ralph said quickly, "We'll put more names in. You can pick whatever you like. Or pick them all and you'll have the longest name in history." At 3 o'clock, the bell rang for the end of the school day. Yoon-hae looked out the window and thought it was sprinkling. "It's the same night," she thought, "but in a different place." She walked to other kids, leaving in groups.
"Hey," a familiar voice called out to her.
Yoon-hae turned to see the curly-haired boy again.
"I'm Joey," he said, "and you, don't you have any name?"
Yoon-hae thought for a moment.
"Well, I can show you," she said, and then took out a small red pouch.
She pressed the wooden block on the ink pad and then stamped it on a piece of paper.
"This is my name stamp," she said. "My grandma gave it to me in Korea. I can use it as a signature when I open a bank account or write it for a letter.
And whenever I miss my grandma, I use it to fill a piece of paper." "Want to try it?" She offered a stamp to Joey, and he carefully inked the stamp and pressed it hard on the paper. The red characters gleamed against the whiteness.
"Wow, that's beautiful," Joey said.
"Can I keep the paper?" "Sure," Yoon-hae said, and the two of them shared their umbrella as they walked into the school bus. Every day, the jar got fuller with more names, and Yoon-hae read them all. She found a few names she liked. Miranda, Stella, Avery. They all sounded interesting. "I hope you choose the name," I put in. Mar- Marco to that snack time. I put in three more squirrels. Madison, Park, and Lex. They're my favorite street names. Maybe you should close your eyes and draw a name, Rosie suggested. Ralph had said, what if she doesn't like the name she draws? Well, we didn't get to choose our names when we were born, did we, Rosie argued? Everyone thought about this. Then, when Yunhei got home from school that day, her little brother ran to get her a letter. It was from her grandma. She opened it quickly. It said, to my Yunhei, I hope you are enjoying your new school and your new friends. Be sure to help your mother and your little brother. Here the moon is up, but the sun is up. But there the sun is up. No matter how far apart we are, no matter how different America is from Korea, you'll always be my Yunhei, your grandmother forever. Yunhei took out the wooden stamp and filled the paper with it. She thought a long time in front of the bathroom mirror. On Saturday, Yunhei walked out to Mr. Kim's store. Mr. Kim was helping a customer, but he looked up and greeted her. Hi, Yunhei. Hello, Mr. Kim, Yunhei replied. She felt as if she was back in her own neighborhood in Korea. Hey, said a customer, turning around. It was Joey. Your name is Yunhei? He asked her with his eyes open wide. Yunhei looked quickly at Mr. Kim and then turned to Joey. She nodded slowly. Yes, it's pronounced Yunhei. It means grace, Mr. Kim added. Yunhei, Joey said slowly and made this time. And this time, it sounded perfect. And then Yunhei smiled. I'll have it ready for tomorrow. Mr. Kim said to Joey, thank you, Mr. Kim. See you on Monday, Yunhei, Joey said to her. He left before she could ask him why he was at the store. On Monday, Yunhei came to class early to look at the names one last time, but the jar was not on her desk. Instead, there was a single piece of paper with the name on it. Yunhei slipped it into her pocket. Where's your name jar, Ralph? As soon as he saw it was gone, I don't know, Yunhei said, it wasn't. It wasn't on Mr. Kokodo's desk or any other desk. It wasn't on any of the counters of the shelves. When other kids arrived, they helped look. Soon Mr. Kokodos came in and Ralph shouted at him. The name jar is gone. The jar with all the names in it. Gone? Mr. Kokodos replied with a look of concern. He said to Yunhei, did you get a chance to read all the names? And he nodded. I took a breath. I'm ready to introduce myself, she said. And he wrote her name in both English and Korean on the chalkboard. I like the beautiful names and the funny names you thought of for me, she told the class. But I realized that I like my name best, so I chose it again. Korean names mean something. Yunhei means grace. Grace! Grace in here! Shouted Ralph. Everyone tried to say it. Ha. Yun. Ha. E. Yun. He. Yun. Ha. Yunhei said her name slowly and clearly. Soon the kids began to say it better. Even Mr. Kokodos, they applauded Yunhei's choice. Lots of American names have meanings too, Mr. Kokodos reminded everyone. With the class was a miss, Yunhei heard her new friends say goodbye. Bye, Yunhei. See you tomorrow. Goodbye, Yunhei. Yunhei said bye and then looked for Joe, but he was already gone. Yunhei, Yunhei, come down stairs, mother called to Yunhei. Your friend is here. Yunhei rushed down to see who meant. There stood Joey, and his arms was the name jar. Where did you find it? Asked Yunhei restlessly. Joey looked embarrassed. Well, I took it. But only because I wanted you to keep your own name. And you did. He reached in and pulled out the names. You want to keep them?
Thank you. I'll keep them as a souvenir.
Yunhei said happily. Then she poked out a piece of paper from her pocket. You want this back? Dora grinned.
You can keep it. I'll return the name jar to the class.
Maybe you could put some Korean nicknames in it for us.
Names with good meanings. I could do that. Yunhei. I've already got a Korean nickname. Mr. Kim, help me choose it. Carefully, he pulled out a small silver felt pouch from his pocket. Then he took out a dark wooden stamp with the beautiful Korean characters carved sharply onto it. He pressed the ink pad and then took out a piece of paper next to her name.
Jungkook.
Yunhei. That means friend, and Jungkook smiled back.
And the end. I hope you enjoyed the story with us. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth. And today we are going to read
The Berenstain Bears Summer Fun.
The Berenstain Bears Summer Fun. And who's sitting right beside me? He says, Elijah the Wrestle Cuckad.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so we're going to read The Berenstain Bears Summer Fun. It's three books in one, so we're going to start on the first book.
How's the first book going?
The Berenstain Bears go to camp. It was the last day of school and the beginning of vacation. That wonderful time, little bears could sit around doing absolutely nothing. Brother Bear and Sister Bear shouted goodbye to Teacher Jane and hopped onto the bus for the happy trip home. Well, said Mama Bear after a day or so of vacation, are you enjoying sitting around doing nothing?
It's great, said Sister.
Absolutely, said Brother.
There's just one problem. Trouble with it, added Sister. There's nothing to do.
Here, take a look at this, Mama said as she reached for something that had caught in the mail.
Do we have a mailbox?
No.
What? This is what it looks like. Tired of sitting around doing nothing? Come to Grizzly Bob's Day Camp. Summer fun for all clubs. For all of all ages. Swimming, canoeing, arts and crafts. Sports and games, nature study, fully supervised, and don't forget our exciting overnight campfire, powwow, and sleep out. Some of the things looked interesting, but Brother wondered what fully supervised meant, and Sister wasn't so sure about that. Overnight sleep out, it sounded a little scary.
Where is this camp?
Asked Sister. Not far, said Mom.
How will we get there, Brother wondered.
A bus comes for you in the morning and brings you home in the afternoon.
Sounds a little like school, said Brother.
Well, we'll think about it, said the cubs, and
went back to doing nothing. Well, not exactly nothing.
They picked a few wildflowers, chased a few butterflies,
turned over a few rocks, and thought about it.
Cue!
Excuse me, reader. Sorry.
Mama, could we try Grizzly Bob's Day Camp to see if we like it?
Of course.
I wonder what's going to happen next.
A couple of mornings later, Brother and Sister were in camp, shorts and t-shirts, all ready and waiting for when the bus came. It didn't look much like the school bus. And Grizzly Bob didn't look much like Teacher Jane.
And the camp didn't look anything like school.
Grizzly Bob had built his camp beside a lake at the edge of the forest. There were log buildings, a flagpole flying the camp flag, a big bulletin board with the camp rules. There were certainly a lot of rules. Some interesting paths, some roped and places to swim. And there was even a big red canoe. Do you guys know how to canoe?
No.
I was asking the readers, Elisha.
Well, the listeners. Then he took off the tour of the camp. There was an office with a desk where he used his paper rug and a first aid corner full of bandages and things for cuts and bruises.
It was a picnic place and a barbecue pit where they roasted hot dogs. Her little sister burned his a little bit. She shared with another cub who liked burnt dogs. Bob all announced that they would climb up to Spook Hill, to the very top of Skull Rock, where the special place that they would have the end of the camp powwow and sleep out. It was quite a climb. That evening, Mama and Papa Bear were eager to know how kids liked camp.
It was okay, said Brother, but they sure had a lot of rules.
It was all right, agreed Sister. They sure had plenty of bandages and stingy stuff for cuts.
But they were both thinking about the end of summer day camp in School Rock and the end of camp slipped out, especially Sister. The second day was different. Brother had a great day. He passed the swimming test and was allowed to ride in the canoe. Sister didn't have a good time. She played dodgeball and some of the cubs played through really hard with Sister Bear. Third day, Sister had fun. She got a star for a birch picture frame. She had made arts and crafts. Her brother hurt his knee in the wheelbarrow way home. Poor brother. The fourth day, both of them had fun. And every day after that, so much fun that they forgot about Skull Rock and the sleep out. Almost. So in the pictures, you can see Sister swimming. They're seeing birds, playing tennis, making baskets, throwing balls, playing soccer, climbing, canoeing, and all those other things. Fishing. Papa found the sleeping bag set that he and Mama had used on their honeymoon, and when the camp bus came on the morning of the big night, Brother and Sister were ready. Sort of. The climb up Spook Hill wasn't so hard this time, even with backpacks. The cubs are strong and tough from their summer of camping. Tomorrow will be field day, the last day of camp, when their parents come to watch their games and contests and see awards being given. But for now, all the cubs could think about was the big sleep. It was just beginning to get dark when they reached School Rock. Grizzly Bob built a campfire. Then he went into a small cave. When he came out, he was dressed in a beautiful Indian costume. The cubs sat in the semicircle, kind of like half a circle, and the powwow began. Bob told them old Indian legends of great animals. The story of a great grizzly as big as a mountain, the soaring eagle who filled the sky, and the mighty salmon whose colors made the rainbow. As Bob told those old stories, the cubs could almost see the wonderful creatures in the firelit smoke as it curled up into the night sky. After the powwow, they had cocoa and honey. Then they curled up in their sleeping bags, and soon they were all fast asleep. Even Sister. The next day, Brother and Sister did very well in the field games and contests. Brother won a trophy for finishing in the dash, and Sister got medals for the dead bear slow in her dead belt. V-belt. Whimsies. It was also the end of the summer. School would be starting in a couple of weeks.
Well, Miss Papa, how did you like camp?
It was great, said Brother, hugging his trophy.
It was great. Okay, Sister, wearing your medals proudly. But you know something? After Grizzly Bob's day camp, school will be like a vacation.
The end. Thank you for reading with us. Hello, my name is Elizabeth, and today we are going to read
The Berenstain Bears get the gimmies. Sadly, Elijah's not here, but we will continue on without him. Okay, let's get reading. The Berenstain Bears get the gimmies. When a cub's behavior takes a turn for the worst, it's hard for parents to know what to do first. Of course, the members of the bear family who lived in the big treehouse down the sunny dirt road in Bear Country loved each other. They loved each other very much. Brother and sister bear loved their mom and papa. Naturally, mom and papa loved their cubs. And, of course, were nice to them, as nice as they could be. But sometimes they were a little too nice. Sometimes the cubs got too many treats, too many toys, and too many rides on the bucking duck at the mall. Maybe that's why the brother and sister bear got the gimmies. Or maybe it was because there were treats, toys, and fun things to do wherever they looked. At the supermarket, at the mall, on TV, and just about every which where. Maybe that was why they began making a fuss to get what they wanted, especially at the supermarket checkout, where there were always stacks and stacks of candy and other goodies. "Now, cubs," said Mama Bear as the family got into the checkout line and saw that old gimme gleam in their eyes. "We can't have a big fuss every time we pass candy. I simply won't stand for it."
"But Mama," whined Sister, "they have gummy gumballs, my favorite."
"And chewy chompers, my favorite," whined Brother. "Now hush," said Mama. "I simply won't listen to another word." That's when Papa Bear's mom said, "Now, Mama, you're only young once," and handed the cubs their favorite treats. "It's only too true," said Mama as they were leaving the supermarket, "that you're only young once, but that's all the more reason to learn proper behavior while you're still young, and I certainly think."
Look,
shouted Sister, "a new ride." "Hey, a bucking frog," shouted Brother. "That looks even better than the bucking duck. May we ride it, please? May we, please?" Now Papa had just bought them treats, and he thought that was enough for one day. But the cubs made such a fuss that he sighed, dug into his pocket, and put some money in the slot. Mama looked at Papa and shrugged. "Cubs will be cubs," she said. "It may be true that cubs will be cubs," said Mama as they walked across the parking lot to the car. "But that's no excuse for jumping up and down and making a scene every time they see something that they..."
Look,
shouted the cubs again. "Little rubber cats that stick out their tongues when you squeeze them." "Cubs," said Mama, "that'll be quite enough. I don't want to hear another word." "Oh, they shouted. "Please, may we have them? Please, please, please?" Papa decided to put a stop to all the fussing. "Stop that fussing," he said in his loudest Papa Bear voice. But they were making such a commotion that they didn't even hear him. Sister was jumping up and down so hard that she fell over backward and started kicking her feet up in the air. "Please, please," shouted the cub so loud that the whole parking lot turned us. Said them. Embarrassed Papa to the toy seller. "Two of those rubber pussycats, please." The rubber pussycats, they not only stuck out their tongues when you squeeze them, they also went squeak, squeak as well. And they squeak, squeaked all the way home. Mama was quite annoyed by the time they got back to the treehouse, but Papa was so angry he could hardly speak. It wasn't until the cubs had gone about their business and Mama had made a pot of tea that Papa's voice came back loud and clear. "Of all the outrageous, disgraceful, embarrassing behavior I've ever seen," he roared, "that selfish, greedy performance by our cubs was the worst. Brother and Sister Bear had the worst case of the galloping, greedy gimmies I've ever seen." "Yes," said Mama, calmly sipping her tea. "But have you ever stopped to think about why they have the gimmies?" Perhaps their greedy, brain behavior isn't all their fault. Perhaps it's partly all our fault for getting it every time they make a fuss. Papa listened quietly. Perhaps so, he said. It's up to us, he continued, to explain things to them, to help them understand why it's important not to be greedy. Then Papa called the cubs in for a talking to. He told them why wasn't it a good idea to be selfish and greedy and want everything in sight. Selfish, greedy cubs, he explained, can never be happy because you just can't have everything you want all the time. Life isn't like that. Do you understand? Oh, yes, Papa, we understand, they said. He talked to them about counting their blessings, which meant enjoying the things they had instead of forever wanting more and more and more. Does that make sense to you? He asked. Oh, yes, Papa, that makes a lot of sense, they said. That's when the cubs heard a sound of a familiar carter. It was Grizzly Gramps and Gran come to call. Brother and sister ran to open the front door, and as Gramps and Gran came up the steps, they made the biggest fuss yet. What you bring me? They screamed. What you bring me? What you bring me? That did it. Up to your room, roared Papa. Up to your room for a up to your room and no TV or treats for a week. For a month. For a year. The cubs knew this wasn't the time to argue. They scurried up the stairs and into their room. We seem to have come at a bad time, said Gran. What about these things we brought with us? Asked Gramps. A puzzle for brother and a top for sister. Your present will have to wait, Gramps, answered Mama. I'm afraid brother and sister have a bad case of the gimmies. The galloping, greedy gimmies, added Papa. The worst case I've ever seen. The cubs opened their door to a crack to listen. The worst case, you say, said Gramps, looking Papa in the eye. Seems to me you were quite a gimme cub yourself when you were little. Brother and sister sneaked to the top of the stairs so they could hear better. Was I, said Papa. Of course, we didn't have malls or supermarkets back then, but there was an old Ruth's Grizzly General Store. Wonderful place. Sold about just everything. Honey cake, licorices, molasses apples, and all sorts of toys and novelties. And did you have the gimmies? Did you ever? You wanted everything inside. Downright embarrassing. Why? It got so bad we couldn't go there anymore. So we worked out a deal, said Gran. When it came time for the trip to the general store, we had you decide on a treat ahead of time. It could be a sweet, a toy, or a book. And that was it for the day. Right, said Gramps. And if you came down with the gimmies, we went right home and you got nothing. That sounds like a pretty good plan to me, said Mama. Me too, said Papa. Cubs tiptoed back to their room. It sounded okay to them, too. The next time the Bear family went to the supermarket, they tried the Gramps and Gran plan, and it worked. Brother decided he would get a book about dinosaurs, and sister wanted a new box of crayons. The Mama and Papa were very, very proud when the cubs passed the candy rack without so much as a peep. Brother and sister were pretty proud of themselves, too. Then they heard it, the familiar sound of a cub, a bad case of gimmies. The kicking, screaming cub was just behind them in the checkout line. You never heard such a fuss. What an outrageous, disgraceful, embarrassing behavior, said sister. May we leave?
Yeah, said brother. Let's get out of here.
And that's how brother and sister Bear got rid of a pretty bad case of the galloping, greedy guineas. Thank you for reading with us, and I hope you have a nice time.